come to know that I was lost. But Jesus found me. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Sing glory, glory. My goodness. How many are enjoying the presence of the Lord here today? Hallelujah. Amen. For those of you that don't know, this is the head of the United Pentecostal Church International, and he's not just enlisted in the Army, and he's not setting a trend for a new haircut, although I see Jeff Overton back there. He's really done a great job there. But we're very delighted to have Reverend and Mrs. Urshan with us today. And this is his first time to speak in public. And what better place to start back than at Zion Tabernacle? He's been preaching on the air, and we're very delighted that this is his first opportunity to preach back after a short time of illness and feeling much better. And we're very happy to have him speak to us today, and we just want him to do what he wants to do and take his liberty. How many are delighted to have the Urshans with us today?
Thank you, thank you. Blessings on the precious people of Zion Tabernacle. And wonderful to be in the house of God. I am delighted. This is my first opportunity to be in the house of God since May 26th. And what a joy to hear you sing and shout. What a joy to hear the blessings that you pour out upon the Lord who has brought you from darkness into light. And what a joy to lift up His holy name. I'm so glad to be here. God bless you. You may be seated. They gave me one of these up-to-date haircuts. I didn't ask for it. They just did it. And, of course, it was because of problems they had to do with my skull. But thank God for the touch of God and for the strength that He gives. And I'm so glad to be in the house of God. I think every one of you who came here today ought to thank God for strength and for His blessing. You never know what tomorrow will bring. And it's wonderful that in the time of your stress, in the time of your calling upon God, He can hear your prayers. I liked what Sister Annette sang this morning about the one that cares for you. He does really care. It's not an object of a form of idolism. It's a form of a personal God, knowing and understanding your personal needs. And He's able to understand them. Don't go to any other source but to the Lord when you have a need. Start with Him. And then you can ask others for help and when you need it. But when you start with Him, you start with the best one. Let me speak to you this morning from the book of St. Luke. And I want to read to you several scriptures from that chapter. It's a very, very interesting chapter. Several things I want you to note as we read some of the scriptures. First of all, I want you to notice His congregation, who they are. I want you to notice who He's preaching to. Jesus never missed an opportunity to minister to individual needs. And when He spoke to these people in Luke 15, He was speaking several forms of situations in order that He could get a message to everyone that was listening to Him. It's wonderful to know that the Lord has an answer to our needs, and He knows how to help us when we need that help. And so in this chapter, we notice his audience. First verse. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's the first portion that indicates that publicans and sinners were there. The publicans were tax gatherers. If anybody needs help, the tax gatherers do. And then it says the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So in the audience that he was speaking to, he had publicans and sinners, and Pharisees and scribes, the critics of Jesus. And then you notice that he goes to them or comes to them with a very unique set of parables. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read portions of it. So if you want to follow me, I'll indicate where I'll be reading. I want you to know I'm reading from the fourth verse of the 15th chapter. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And then down to the seventh verse. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He went out to look for the lost sheep. The eighth and the tenth verses. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then here's the 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons. 12th verse. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And then you know the story about the son. After many days, the younger son gathered everything he had, took his journey into another land, and lost everything he had. Didn't have a thing left. And when he had spent all, 14th verse, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into the fields to feed swine. He ended up in a pig pen. From riches to pig pens. And down in that pig pen, the Bible says, he came to himself. He tried to fill his stomach with the food of pigs. Now, I know when this service is over, you're going out and eat or go home and eat, and it won't be in a pig pen. It'll probably be at McDonald's. But I want you to know, you don't go to a pig pen and get all your wonderful vitamins. But you look at this man. Why does it take somebody so long to get right? He came to himself in a pig pen. And this is what he said. I'll arise and go to my father, 18th verse. Will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Came to his father. And as he went to his father, look at this 20th verse. So interesting. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Remember, the Father is waiting for you to come home. Remember that. He is waiting for you to come home. And then it tells us, the Father said, bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let's eat and be merry, for my son was dead, is alive again, he was lost and is found, and began to be merry. And then there's another parable about the elder son who stayed at home. And listen to this man. He got peeved and offended. He was angry, 28th verse. Would not go in, therefore, that is, to the feast. Came his father out and entreated him, begged him to come in. He answered, said, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merrying with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said, and son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was me. It was important that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's stand and celebrate for being found. Would you do that? Let's just stand and celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for finding us. Lost and undone, without hope, and yet you came to our rescue. You lifted us out of the deep miry clay. You gave us a sense of direction and understanding of your mercy. How great thou art, how great thou art, how real thou art. We thank and praise you for it all. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. I bless you, you may be seated. I'll try to be a little brief in my message today. Not because I don't have anything to say, but because I know Americans are clock watchers. And I do want you to hear some of these beautiful things about Jesus and what he knows about people. Now, when you read this 15th chapter, it's a chapter of parables dealing with the lost and how Jesus approaches the needs of the lost. The first group that I deal with has to do with that one lost sheep that the shepherd went out to find and left the 99 to find one lost sheep. That immediately tells me God is interested in the individual. He knows about your individual life. Don't ever forget that. He knows you're rising up and you're lying down. He sees you're coming in and you're going out. He knows everything about you. And my dad used to tell us that when we were children, that the Lord sees what you're doing. And when he'd give us spending money, this is what he'd say. Don't you spend that money on anything that would displease the Lord. Well, I felt like he gave it to me, and I couldn't do anything with it. And then he would say to me, if you spend it in the wrong place, you'll invite the judgment of God. You know, that diamond in my pocket got hot as a pistol. I didn't know what to do with it. Well, one day I got a silly notion in my head. I'd never been to a movie theater, Brother Anderson, never been to one. And I decided to go to a movie theater. I put my dime on the till where the lady was behind the window, and as I did, lightning flashed and thunder struck. I grabbed my dime and ran for home. I knew God was going to kill me. It's a wonderful thing to have the fear of God in your heart. And he put it in there by virtue of my father's instruction. And here Jesus is saying something to these Pharisees and scribes. They had just criticized him. Look, he eats with sinners. And so he told them the story of the one lost sheep. There was one lost sheep. He left 99 that had no need of repentance and went out to get one soul. One sheep. Amazing. It's amazing to know that the Lord God would recognize a wandering lost sheep. Interesting about sheep. Now, I'm not saying anything unkind when I say this. Sheep are dumb. They are one of the dumbest animals you'll ever find. And take your dog that you want to get rid of, drive him 20 miles away and drop him off, and he'll find his way home. You don't have to go look for him. Take your mangy cat. Drive that cat about 50 miles away. And that mangy cat will get home. But not a sheep. You got to go look for the sheep. I want to challenge this audience today. Let me challenge you by telling you, there are numbers of people in Kokomo, Indiana, that have had this wonderful experience in days gone by. If you as a church and individuals in the church went out to look for them, you'd find people who are waiting to find a way home. And when you reached for them, they'd say to you, "Where have you been so long?" I never forget this because it made a deep impression on me. My daughter, who passed from this scene when she was 44 years of age, and we miss her terribly, but we know where she is, that gives us a sense of security. She was praying one morning, and there had been a lady in their church that was troubled. She had destroyed a good deal of her life by getting into areas of other things which were not good for her, divorced her husband, and she had children by that husband, married another, and by doing so, she got into a disturbed condition of real feelings of guilt. And she was so guilty in her thinking that she became terribly remorseful. And Sharon was praying one morning, it was early in the morning, and the Lord put this woman on her heart. She couldn't escape thinking about her. She thought about her for minutes. She said, I thought about her for an hour, and then was urged by the presence of God, go talk to her. So she went to her home. When she went to her home, she knocked on the front door. Nobody answered. And then she began to feel, well, I'm misled by the Spirit of God. Don't ever feel you're misled by the Spirit of God. Don't ever feel that. If it's the Spirit of God, and you're sure that it is, follow that leading. And so she didn't give up. She went to the back door and knocked. No answer. At that time, she's beginning to doubt her sensitivity of the Spirit of God. But she tried again. She tried at the front door again, and the door opened. And the lady said, "Why did you come here today?" She said, "In prayer, my God impressed me deeply. Go get B." That was her nickname, B. Said, "Go find B and bring her to God's house." When she opened the door to her, she said, "Wait just a minute. Wait about 2 minutes till I take care of something." She went in and turned the gas jets off. She had locked the doors and she was going to commit suicide. And she went in, turned the gas jets off, and brought Sharon in and said, "Why did you come today?" She said, "My God, talk to me. Told me to go get you and bring you to the house of God." Well, they embraced. B came back to the Lord. She's still serving the Lord. But I want you to know, somebody had to go get her. Don't ever recognize the fact that people who once knew God, they are not really happy when they turn their back on the Lord. Not really happy. They try to drown their thoughts in the things of this life. And the things of the material never satisfy man's soul. You know why it doesn't satisfy man's soul? God gave the soul. And God knows how to feed it. And you can't feed it on material things because the soul rejects material things. The reason why the soul rejects material things is because it's a spiritual implant of God in your life. And it only gets feeding from God. It only gets feeding from God. And if you don't get fed by the Spirit of the Lord, you are losing something in your life. You are adrift. You are far from God. You need to humble yourself and come into the presence of God and say with a spirit of contrition. I need thee, oh my God. I need thee, oh my God. And you'll find something in you will begin to rejoice because the soul knows what it seeks. Say thank God. Praise God. Knows what it needs. Jesus taught them, go get that one lassie. What it tells me again is he is so interested in everybody. He's interested in you. I look at your faces today, and some of you are smiling, some of you are thoughtful, and some of you aren't. But when I look at your faces, I wonder what's behind the mask. What lingers behind the face? What is touching the inside of you? What makes you wonder about things? I know one who can take care of every bit of it. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. And in his presence you'll find that joy that your soul is seeking. Now look at this second parable. Here's a lady sweeping her floor looking for 10 pieces of silver. Now, if she's sweeping the floor looking for 10 pieces of silver, she cannot say, come here, you little coin. Because a coin has no feeling. Come here, you little rascal. I know you're somewhere in this house. You come out from under that rug of that corner. No response. She swept and swept and swept and found her coin. When she found her coin, she told the neighbors, I found my coin. And then on top of that, it says that the angels of heaven rejoiced. Not over a coin that was found, but over a sinner that was found. We talk about a sheep, we talk about a coin, and in both instances, they are not apparently human beings, but they are typical, or Jesus used them as an allegory, of human people. Find the sheep, sweep for the coin. I wondered about this coin business for a long time. I wondered who was the coin. You know, how do you describe who the coin is? I found it one day and rejoiced in the Lord. In Ephesians 2, if you have the Bible, let me tell you what the coin is. Now remember I said to you, the coin has no feeling. It can't respond to a call. It has to be found by a searcher. Somebody searching for it. And if you will note these verses, 11th verse, 2nd chapter of Ephesians, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ. Notice what he tells the Gentiles. That's you and I. Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. He is telling us that we had no hope and we had no, and we were without God in this world. And it tells us that actually we had no feeling, that we had nothing that could give us the hope of what we needed. But I want you to note that in Christ Jesus, who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. We were without God, no hope in this world, no sensitivity to God. The Jewish people had a background of hope. They had a background of teaching. The Gentiles had none. That's you and I. I never want to hear somebody get up and say, I found the Lord. You did not. He found you. You were like a lost coin. Not only were you a lost coin, but you're without hope. and you were a branch that was absolutely destroyed, but he picked you, made you over again, and put you in the plan of his purpose for salvation. God found you. Are you thankful for the Lord finding you? I'm glad he found me. I'm so glad he found me. And when she found that coin, she rejoiced, and the Lord impresses us. You see, I'm talking about somebody that needs to be found. We come to this young man who said, I want my inheritance. I want to get out and have a big time. I haven't seen much of this world. I'd like to get a shake at it. You get a shake at it if you try it, but you get shook up too. And he went out to find what he thought was happiness. He got the money that his dad had planned for his inheritance. And he asked for it. He got it. He went into riotous living. I won't go into an extension of that, but we are living in riotous times. Volatile times. We're living in serious hours. And even people who have never talked about it before are not talking about it and saying the year 2000 will be a big determination of what happens in the future. I'm telling you this morning, what happens in the future is on us. And we are looking at some foreboding times. What they're saying in places is that the stock market will crash. They're saying there's coming a bug in the computer system. Bugs in computers? There's bugs everywhere, man. And I want you to know that when they talk about this, I read an article the other day that actually made me deeply concerned. They're talking about judgments that never have happened to this world. I read it. It wasn't a preacher writing it. It was a very outstanding businessman writing and saying, we cannot go much further without something climaxing the problems that we're in and bringing us severe judgment. And he said, you better get your money and put it in the ground. Now, that's not my advice. That's his advice. It wouldn't take me long to dig a little hole for mine. But you know, when you talk about these things, and these men talk about it, saying, you gotta get your money at the bank, they're going to fail. And then someone reads it, said, now sometimes this man is right, and sometimes he's wrong, but he has never talked like this before. I'm not trying to tell you he's right or wrong, but I'm telling you what I know about the book. I'm telling you he's coming soon. I'm telling you that there's wars and rumors of wars. I'm telling you that there are more earthquakes than there have been in the history of the world in one century. I'm telling you that this is a riotous, volatile time of terrible, terrible things happening where people do things to other people that you can't believe they do as a human being. Man taking his little boy and punching him in the stomach, a boy of 16 months, punching in the stomach till he kills him. Something's wrong. That's not normal. That's not a part of living. Part of living is to rejoice. A part of living is to thank God for your children. A part of living is to bring your children to the house of God. Part of living is go to the house of God and sing praises unto his name and find joy unspeakable and peace that passeth understanding. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for the glory of his presence. And this man loses it all, this money, in a pigsty. How long does it take to get you to come to yourself? Do you have to have a calamity? Do you have to eat the pig's food? Have you ever seen pig slop? If you haven't, hold your hand up. If you have, let me tell you about pig slop. It's everything that everybody has eaten or doesn't want. It's thrown together and a whole lot of other slop with it. But one thing, and I don't know if this is true or not, a Kentuckian told me. A Kentuckian told me that a pig won't eat carrots. And I don't know if he's telling me the truth or not. And I said, oh, come on. He said, it's the truth. A pig won't eat carrots. So when they offered him a bowl of carrots, said, I don't want any, pigs won't take it. You know, that's so strange. And we think they'd eat anything. Then another person told me that pigs won't eat cucumbers. Well, leave them for me. I like them. That means I am not a pig. But there you go. You look at all these ideas of what people say and how they talk about it, and then you come right back to the very special things of the Scripture, and he tells us that down in the pigsty, he got to thinking, hey, look where I'm at. My dad's servants have more than I've got. I'm going to go home and tell my dad, Dad, I'm not worthy to be one of your children. I'm not worthy even to be one of your servants, but if you just take me back. And what he found out was that the father was watching through that window every day, every moment, every hour, looking for him to come back. And when he saw him make one step toward the direction, he was on his way. And they fell into each other's arms, and there was a new love match. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's looking for you today. He's watching for you today. Please don't stay in that pigsty. Please come home. Please come home. Don't live in an area you don't need to live in. Please come home. Saying to thee, I look for you at every moment of time. You're my child. I brought you into this world through creative energy. You shall never be anyone but mine unless you turn away my love and my mercy and my outstretched hand. I'm waiting for you. Please come home. Please come home. Please hear my voice. Don't turn me away. I love you. Calvary is my testimony to you that I love you. I gave my life in your behalf. I want you so bad. Let me quickly close. The Spirit of the Lord is here in conviction. Let me quickly close. There's another one. And this is what Jesus said to this one. All I have is thine. I didn't need to kill you, a fatted calf. You were always there. I always could help you. But my son, hallelujah, that was lost, is found. Let's be merry. Let's rejoice. Please don't sit on a seat in a church, especially in an apostolic church, and criticize everything that goes on. You may become the biggest butt of a judgment. Because you try to read everybody's mail and think you know all about them. If you have the Spirit of the Lord, you reach for people. Hold out a hand of invitation and say, it's time. He was telling the sinners. There's something else he was telling them. If you were a prodigal son, and we talked to you about that prodigal son, lost everything he had in riotous living. In the Old Testament, they killed a disobedient son in the square of the city. And Jews do not believe that one time you leave God, you can ever come back again. They don't believe you can come back again. But Jesus said, the Father looks for him. Looks for him. Looks for you. Wanting you to come home. Would you stand together with me? And would you just praise God? Would you just thank the Lord? Thank the Lord for reaching for you, bringing you into the fold. Sing that song.
Coming home.
Yes, I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home, Lord. I've had enough of this slop. I've had enough of this world. I just want to be your enfolded child. I want you to love me with a love that never dies, with a love that's everlasting. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for bringing us into your fold. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah! 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 We are so privileged to sit in your presence today. But we're praying for those in the audience who need to make a move. Oh yes, I'm coming home, Lord. I've had enough. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home.
Hallelujah!
I'm coming into your presence. You're my God, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. I'm coming to you. Praise God. Oh yes, thank him for your salvation. Thank him because you're in the house of God. Thank him for the opportunity to come home.
I would like right now in this beautiful atmosphere, I feel like there are families and family members that are together. You just come as a group to the altar today. And just reach out to the Lord before we close this service. I know that there's a feeling of togetherness. And sometimes it's great to worship the Lord at that point. And I just like for the families that are here that want to draw closer together in the Lord, just to come right now. Just come together. Just bring your worship to this place, whether you're visiting or not. And let's just make it a time of reaching out to God. People worshiping here right now. God's reaching into the deepness of your life. Moving back to the home place of the soul. Where the Spirit of the Lord has breathed many times. Such familiarity in the presence of God. Hallelujah. No pressure, no worries, just standing in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Coming down
from the Father above. Oh, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Let's just worship Him right now as that peace falls upon you.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above.